Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow, brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. Also brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Craig Breslow, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great. Win last night, and it looks like these guys are hanging in, and it's gonna be down to the wire here, four games out with 10 left.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can all be realistic that, you know, we've got this improbable but not impossible path ahead of us, and the only thing that we can do is try to win every game every night. You know, last night was a nail biter, but big win for us, and you know, we'll try to tackle the Rays tonight and not get too far ahead of ourselves, but obviously a huge series this weekend.
Craig, Trevor Story was pretty upfront when talking about the fact that the playoff hopes are less likely, but they're still going out there and playing hard. How important is it for you that you have guys in this clubhouse that no matter where they are in the standings are going to go out there and give it their best shot?
Yeah, it's unbelievably important, and I think that's a credit to the players, and it's a credit to Alex and the rest of the staff to keep those guys focused. You know, we've talked all season about the level of resiliency that they've shown, and I think Trevor embodies that nearly perfectly, right, given that he had this pretty devastating injury a couple weeks into the season and, you know, rehabbed, fought to get back, and then here he is. And then last night, you know, almost single-handedly won that game for us. So, you know, I think it's really important. We talk all the time about playing meaningful baseball in September, you know, because it's important for the present. It's also important for the future, as there are a number of players on this team that, you know, we believe are going to be a part of really successful Red Sox teams for the future. And understanding what it's like for these games to matter in September is a really important lesson for all of us to learn.
Wiggy, go ahead. I know you got one.
Right. Craig, the thing I was thinking, I know that you guys are still focused on the season, but like you said, it's, you know, it's a very, very tough hill to climb. So as you're starting to look towards the off season, and I don't want to get into specific players or, you know, free agents, but some of those guys that you might have been looking at through trades that could potentially still be there in the off season, are those do you continue to kick the tires on players that, you know, might have been looked to be moved during the trade deadline but are still on the contract with other teams and still looking to maybe be a big player in a trade market in the offseason, not just the free agent market?
Yeah, you know, I think we have to be honest about opportunities for us to upgrade. You know, we have to look at every possible opportunity. And I think, you know, the opportunities to upgrade or the deficiencies on this team are pretty well documented, right? Like, you know, pitching, we need, you know, additional starting pitching depth. You know, we need to take a hard look at our bullpen. You know, we obviously have Tyler right now, but he's, you know, kind of earned the right to explore free agency. And, you know, the right-handed power that plays so well at Fenway is going to be a massive hole that we're going to have to figure out how to fix.
Major League Baseball completed their investigation of Alex Cora over the comments that he made on Saturday. There's no suspension. There's nothing. I just want to ask you, you were a pitcher. Are you comfortable with the comments that Alex Cora made? What happened with regard to Aaron Judge and that whole thing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, like this is you know, two incredibly competitive franchises. You know, the performance history of Raffy versus Cole is pretty well documented. I think, you know, the thing that I would say is, you know, I think all sides kind of handled this in a way that it didn't bubble up. It didn't become something more than it needed to. I think, you know, the judge's comments were, you know, were classy and professional. And, you know, it is clear, right, how much Alex cares about this team and cares about his players.
Craig, we talked about, or Wiggy asked about trades, about where you are now. My partner here, Chris Scheim, loves golf and is a huge fan of mulligans. So looking back on it, $17 million for Chris Sale to win the Cy Young on another team. Do you regret it?
Yeah, you know, it is a fair question. And, you know, there are 29 other teams that benefit from Chris Sale pitching at the front of their rotation. We certainly would as well. You know, I still believe that this trade, you know, I think can only be fairly judged or evaluated down the road, right? Like, you know, Vaughn is a guy that we are excited to have here, and he's a guy that we will have for a long time. I don't think we saw what he's capable of doing over the course of a season. You know, I think the Vaughn that we've seen over the last month or so in Worcester is far more indicative of the player that he can be and the player that he will be here. But sure, you know, it hurts that, you know, Chris Sale is having such a successful season in another uniform. But I also recognize when you make these trades, that's always a possibility, and his talent was never going to be questioned.
Craig, I always find it interesting at this point of the season when guys are banged up. Obviously, everybody's tired and dealing with something, but Alex Cora had to talk about Kenley Jansen yesterday, had to talk about Tanner Houck. When you guys only have 10 left and you're four games out, how do you deal with guys that have a shoulder issue that could turn into something more serious?
Yeah, it's a difficult balance that we have to strike. We are all incredibly competitive, and we realize what is directly in front of us. And so, you know, we have to kind of straddle this line between, you know, what risk we might be taking on with the importance of the games, you know, that we're playing every day. And, you know, it's most important that we look out for our players, but there's no perfect solution to how you do that. And so, you know, we have to trust the players, we have to trust the medical staff, and we have to ultimately do, you know, what we believe gives us the best chance of winning games. And, you know, at this point, just given the mechanics of, you know, of the IL, you know, anyone who goes on the IL is going to be out for the rest of the season. And, you know, that can be a damning blow if it's someone who just needs a couple of days. So we have to figure out how to navigate that. We don't want to handicap our chances of winning games, but we also don't want to be, you know, too conservative when these games matter, frankly.
I've been hanging on a thread waiting for an answer to this one. Did you make it to Pearl Jam or not?
I knew that was going to be the most pressing question. So on Sunday, I did not go. I was with the team in New York. And then a couple of days ago, I stuck around, heard the sound check, and heard you know, the first couple of songs. But I did duck out to get home for the kids' bedtime. That's something I haven't been able to do enough over the last year, and felt like when I had to prioritize each of those, I opted for the family.
I will say this. Kids are the ultimate excuse because nobody can say anything to you. Like, as soon as you shut everybody down. I mean, that's your favorite band, mm-hmm. and you only heard a couple mm-hmm. songs, a soundtrack? I mean, I don't know, Craig. What about Post Malone? I was at Courtney and I were at Post Malone. Did you go to Post Malone last night?
Well, yeah, I didn't. Little League game, so got out of here around 5:30 or 6, just in time to watch. Yeah, the second inning of one of my sons. I've got twins, so second inning pitch of one of my sons and a couple of bats of the other. So it was a sacrifice well worth it.
Yeah, we got a future Major League Baseball player or two over there.
Hopefully a battery.
I have a question just regarding the finances of these concerts. Sam told us in spring training that the Red Sox were a break-even business. Are the concerts a different pot? Like, is that a totally different entity that the organization views? Because they're using Fenway Park. It's a huge windfall. I mean, the amount of money that must generate is incalculable. What is that part of your budget, or is that something that's totally different?
So I'm actually not certain of the economics in terms of, you know, profitability of concerts or anything, you know, and not sure how much sense it makes for me to understand any better outside of, you know, I'm trying to put the best team together that I possibly can. And, you know, when there are opportunities, whether that's, you know, trades or free agencies, I take that to, you know, to ownership. We discuss whether or not it makes sense and ultimately make a decision.
Craig, well, I mean, you can go to John Henry and say, listen, you saved some money on Sidney Crosby. I want that money. I want to be able to spend it.
I don't think that would work out all that well. You know, I think one thing that, you know, Sam and others have repeated is that, you know, these are kind of standalone businesses that need to be operating on their own.
All right, Craig. Well, listen, there's still a chance, and we will be paying close attention. I know you will, too, and thanks for taking the time this morning.
You've got it. Thanks. Have a good morning.
All right. There he is, Craig Breslow. Any nuggets, Wiggy?
I was going to ask him my last question, but I know it's tough because I'm down here. I was going to ask about 3 years in a row you missed the playoffs, and we were just talking about money. Is ownership, are they in the mode of they want to get back to the top of the league when it comes to spending money? So
I can answer that on his behalf, no.
So we won't see a team this offseason spend money, which will put them in the top five of spending again. Because we as fans equate when you spend a lot of money, that means you went out and acquired very talented players.
What's ownership saying, though, after three years
of missing the playoffs?
But I would ask you from the business perspective, if they're looking at it as they do as a business, do you think they look at this and say, oh, boy, we better go out and spend a lot of money? Because fans aren't going to be back at Fenway Park next season. I think they expect that
people are going to be there.
Yeah,
no
but I
what.
Think Curtis is right to the point where 3 years in a row, you don't make the playoffs. There's no juice amongst this team. I understand people go to Fenway because it's the Fenway Park. It's the nostalgia of the ballpark. But Curtis is right. It's the empty seats will start showing their ugly head when it's you're going to see teams of a bunch of just, you know, young kids that aren't really competitive, that don't make the playoffs. I mean, I don't know how long John Henry, just from an ego standpoint, is going to allow that. That's why I would ask, you know, is he looking at it like, all right, we need to get back to putting a team on the field?
I need the answer on whether he is buying the Celtics or not first.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's a cocoa bomb.
Yeah, and I would also add, look out, bombs away. All right, Greg.
If that baby doesn't hit, it's going to be a nightmare.
What, the same Oof. Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, how is it going to hit? He's either going to get the team or he could still be one of the final three.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
I hope that he calls in. Like, I would love to ask him.
Yeah.
But don't we need another source, like, that confirms the Sam Kennedy thing, or if he comes out and says we're not interested?
No, I think Sam Kennedy's avoidance of the Thursday interview proves Courtney's story as accurate.
Okay.
Okay.
And I would also add, the Red Sox in the last 4 years have traded away the MVP of the National League and Mookie Betts and the Cy Young Award winner, Chris Sale, and look at the return.
Yeah, but the Chris Sale thing, Curtis, I mean, let's be honest. If he was still playing with the Red Sox, he'd be on the IR somewhere hurt.
Okay, Wiggs. Wiggs, there was a time, as a guy that's a lifelong Bostonian yourself, where if you paid a guy $17 million to win the Cy Young for another team, that GM would be fired before the season ended.
But there wasn't a – listen, I give you the Mookie Betts one.
I know, but it failed. Like,
but there wasn't a person in all of New England, or let alone all up and down the East Coast, that is a Red Sox fan that was like, keep Chris Sale. Everybody was like, ship Mr. Glass out of here.
I agree. We are not paid to understand the health and well-being of the people that Craig Breslow has that information. He saw it, and he made the wrong move in hindsight, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's more the Chris Sale, honestly, is like a Monday morning quarterback where prior to it on Friday, we were like, man, get this guy up out of here.
And everybody was like that, but Curtis is right, like, I mean, if Chris Sale were still here, you're a playoff team.
Oh, definitely.
No, if Chris Sale's still here, he's not playing because he's hurt.
What do you mean, Wiggy?
But he was here for how many years, and he did nothing, and he dealt with so many injuries. I get that he's having a good year, and I get that he's healthy, but I just feel like it's Chris Sale with a Red Sox uniform on. He's riding a bike. He's hitting the television. There's something.
So what, the change of scenery did him good?
I think so. I think with Chris Sale, it was one of those things where him getting out of here just might have been a different feel for him, a different change. Do you really believe if Chris Sale was here, he'd be putting up the same type of production?
Oh, I don't believe he would, Wiggs.
I think he would. No. Why wouldn't he?
I agree with Wiggy. I think it's a change of scenery thing for Chris Sale.
Do you think it's the absence of bike lanes in Atlanta and the fact that he drove to work?
That is true.
Atlanta has all those birds. Like
but they got no bike lanes.
The bird bikes.
Curtis is right.
And the bird scooters.
What?
The bird scooters.
I also.
They're like electric scooters.
Apropos of nothing. I was walking across the street yesterday, Seaport Boulevard, and I see a guy I know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a domestic car.
No. Guy, I understand that all these things are legal and what have, but we've lost our collective minds. So this guy is a 48-year-old man, a very successful business guy, real estate. The spirit industry comes rolling by me on one of those scooters that you stand on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Segways.
It wasn't a Segway. It was like the little mini scooter thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Electric scooter. E-scooter.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I can listen to Greg describe new technology all day long.
And I'm having a conversation with the dude. And I said out loud, "Do you smell weed?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm smoking a joint right here." So he was right there on the scooter,
yeah,
having a conversation with me, driving around the city, smoking a joint.
Yeah, that's legal.
It's legal, but, I mean, is it?
Yeah.
If you're on a scooter and you're, scootering around people.
Can
and
you picture Greg, standing up? Are you smelling marijuana?
I mean, what would be the difference in a couple of months when he's on a scooter with a drink in his hand?
Well, a good
you're not
point.
Supposed to be scootering while intoxicated or under the influence. I don't believe.
What's good, young man?
I mean, the...
hello, fellow children.
Are you on that cush there?
Do the laws not apply to those that are on their scooters?
I don't think so.
Greg was so taken aback by this.
I was taken aback because it's just so weird to me. I went to jail as a young man for possession of marijuana.
Greg, and now, be honest.
All of a sudden around me, people are scootering around with big fat bones in their hand.
That's
be honest.
Criminalized. That's
be
why,
honest, Greg.
Greg.
Did you refer to him as a feckless sod?
Yes, I did. I did. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to Courtney and to what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox beat the Rays last night 2-1. Tanner Houck went four innings, giving up one run on four hits while striking out four. One more with the Rays tonight, 6:50 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 5:50 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call in the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. We have the Pats in Thursday Night Football tonight. The boys are taking on the Jets in enemy territory. Kickoff is at 8:15. What time's your event tonight, Wiggy?
Right at kickoff. So it'll be during the game. It'll be during the game. We've got Q&A. We'll be talking X's and O's. We're doing all that good stuff. A little film breakdown.
Do you have a rider when you do these public appearances?
No.
No green M&Ms like Van Halen used to? Or
nope. Yeah.
Once, sliders, unlimited sliders.
Oh, definitely.
No, once they basically say, "Here's how much we're going to pay you," I'm on board. I don't need nothing else.
I don't know where you guys are in the vicinity of Twin Peaks, but maybe you and the missus get some lunch at Twin Peaks.
No, I think we're on, I don't know if the Twin Peaks are like the Hooters and they're everywhere, but, we're closer to Hollywood, Florida. I don't think there's any Twin Peaks around there.
Did you fly
into my strip clubs?
You did take a fancy to that Twin Peaks server, if I remember.
Yeah, she was my daughter's age, Greg. You know me, the older the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Wiggy, good news. Twin Peaks has a location in Hollywood, Florida.
No way.
Okay. Right on Hollywood Boulevard. Right. Opens at noon.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Maybe I'll take her by there for lunch and see what she thinks of Twin Peaks.
Yeah. A little lunch, then a trip to the beach afterwards, if you know what I'm saying.
A little nude beach action. They were all over the place down here.
Have you ever been to a nude beach?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you
of course.
Have?
Why? I mean, it's freeing, Greg.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than getting in the water butt-ass naked.
I didn't know if you had been. I don't think we've ever discussed that with
Have
you.
Have you ever been to a nude beach?
Sexers.
Is there still one on Martha's Vineyard?
I think there is, yes.
Have you ever been to one, Greg?
I have.
All right, see?
You know the first question Wiggy asks about nude beaches, Greg?
Yeah.
You know, Wi-Fi access? Well, yeah, you need
Wi-Fi.
That was
such a sneaky great moment.
I mean, why are you going to be at a nude resort without Wi-Fi?
Do you know, Wiggy, how you could identify the blind man at a nude beach?
He's the one without. He's the one that doesn't need a walker?
No, it's not hard. When it comes to identifying him, it's not hard. All right.
I think you've used that one before.
That's a good one. I like that.
Have I used that before?
Yeah, you've recycled that one.
Okay, well, Curtis liked it.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
Sorry, Ken's in here.
The Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away is going on now. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 67 degrees, cloudy outside. A little bit of rain coming for the first time in a while in about 20 minutes.
That was the encore last night, Chime. Pretty good.
That song's so good.
The show was great.
So good.
I got to tell you, it was. And the way he's doing stuff now, we were talking about it earlier, but with the full band, it made the show even better, I thought, last night.
And can I just say the merch was a 10 out
well,
of 10?
Well, I see what'd you pay for that? What did that set you back?
50 bucks?
It was 80.
$80.
Wow. Yeah, there was a Boston exclusive sweatshirt. I was in line for it, and it sold out in front of me, which was fine because I'm really happy with this piece. Yeah.
Thank you. That looks great.
But like, Curtis, when you really think about it, people are angry about my Bruins takes while I'm sitting here at a Post Malone sweatshirt. Like, how silly.
How silly.
I'm just a girl. I'm just a little girl in a Post Malone sweatshirt.
And not to mention, out with your husband in a suite for free.
Hey, Greg, let me ask this, though, because you were there, and Courtney, you was obviously there. And, Courtney, I'm surprised you didn't say hello to Johnny Bye. You guys were in the suite together.
Wiggy, I wish that I had known that he was there. It's so dark in that suite, and there's so many people. I would have, of course, gone and found him.
Let me ask you guys this question. How does he sound live? Because he relied, well, or at least it sounds like he relied when in his studio recordings. It's a lot of, like, auto tunes, similar to like kind of what T-Pain was. How does he sound?
I think that's
live?
Just his voice, Wiggy.
No, he's got a great.
Yeah, he
great
sounds
voice.
The exact same.
Okay, voice.
And so, you can tell he's not lip singing like that. He would lip syncing.
Yes,
sorry. He would stop at certain points mid song and just start dancing.
But do they have like an auto tune mic that allows his voice to kind of have that like auto tune sound?
I don't think so, but
no.
Maybe.
No, not
I don't
really.
Think so.
No.
Okay. I mean, I'm asking because I was asking the question because I know he's kind of like, you know, that's when I think of him. Obviously he reminds me a lot of T-Pain, and T-Pain was a kind of big auto tuner. I'm wondering how
T-Pain.
I'm wondering how Post Malone sounds live.
When you're there, this is a dumb question, but is it all Aramark? Is it all the same, like, souvenirs and, like, the food and everything inside the park the same as it would be for a Red Sox game, or is it different?
There's no different food, but I don't think the merch is done by Aramark.
No. Aramark is just concessions.
Yeah, it's all the same food.
Very good.
So then that's all the same. Yeah, I mean, this is all going to the team.
I had some good mozzarella sticks inside Walshy's box. Thank you very much, Walshy, for having those. The delicious.
Did you send Santo out for flowers during the show?
Nope.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope.
Okay. This is David from Florida. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hey.
You know, you need to go back to journalism school, Greg.
Okay.
You need to. I am fed up with your buddy approach to Breslow. He does not deserve to have things go so easy with him.
What would you let me ask you, what would you say if it were you? Like, what am I gonna say to him?
I would have just jumped down his throat like a crocodile, like an alligator. I mean Mr. Breslow, and first of all, call him Mr. And don't call him Greg. Call him Mr. Breslow. Keep
Craig.
This thing professional.
I like calling him Craig, but go ahead, yeah.
You know, I mean, you started out saying something to the effect of that, you know, congratulations, you guys are heading in there, and you're still in it.
Still hanging on. Yep.
No, still hanging on. That's got to go. You know, that's got to go. You know, this team is, I mean, one thing you did miss, in all sincerity, that I think is so critical, is that this team is just has too much too much emphasis on the young kids. There's no balance. I don't care if you're running a baseball organization or a 7-Eleven.
Right.
I mean, you have to have a mix of young and old.
Well, you have veterans to in the latter case, you have to attempt to try to steal a veteran free agent from Cumbie's.
Great point, David.
To add on from a cashier perspective.
Thank you there, Mr. Curtis.
Yes. Oh, I mean, top notch. We should send this call to Cooperstown.
Well, you
should. I agree with you. Dave, should be the
David.
Now,
Curtis. Yeah. Curtis, that there's an opening here.
Ooh, David, can you give me a home run call?
Can we hear you? Can we hear your home run call? Because Joe is leaving. So give it way back
and gone.
Well, that's Struppiano's. You can't steal that. But good try.
Hold on a second. I have some feedback on that if you want it real quick, David, on your home
run. I got one more thing for you,
too. Hold on. Here you go. Here's my feedback on that. All right.
Up and away. How's that one go?
That's a good one.
Love it.
Did David not listen to the show after Coco's Coco bomb that we're not journalists?
Right.
Well, Craig Breslow is not going to come on here and answer many questions. He does his best, and I don't know what you're going to. Well, I mean, let's wait and see. If they don't make the playoffs, then the postmortem will begin. I mean,
we should just yell at Craig Breslow when he comes on. Stop lying. Stop telling the truth now. Don't lie to us. Craig, where's the money go? Where's John Henry? You suck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're going to get. I do think that you can look at, you brought it up earlier, Wiggy. 3 of the last 4 years have been not what the fans are expecting. So I at some point, I guess, the fans will be heard, and that may lead to them determining that they're going to spend a little bit more money.
There's no way they go into this offseason without making major splashes.
Why?
Because I feel like the Eagles get in the way. After 3 years of not making the playoffs, right, the Eagles going to get in the way.
They're making money, Wiggs. I hope you're right, but they with Post Malone, Pearl Jam.
Right,
you know,
I get that they're making
Hootie,
money.
Which Shime ruined a great joke by Wiggy that morning.
I was so bad. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that.
But it's just by and large, it's all they want. John Henry just wants it to be profitable.
Right. I get that they're making money, Curtis, and I understand that point of it. But they also are like, you also have an ego, and you know, you hear the noise. Like, people might say you don't hear it. That's BS. You hear it, and you got to be like, this Red Sox team is looked at as, if they don't do nothing again, people are like, this is a joke, I'm tuning out. Oh. Like, I think people are at the tune out mode as far as, like, they get fans, but do you think people are really, like, excited about the Red Sox season, are looking forward to it, anticipating what the team's going to be? Or are they just like, you know what, I want to go to Fenway Park and take a selfie?
No, and you might be right about the ego thing, too, because, I mean, their Pittsburgh Penguins, I believe, have missed the playoffs the last two seasons, too. So, I mean, are they going to put their money there, or are they going to put their money here? I think that this all comes into play with why some of us were so upset when they went ahead and put their...
Don't forget the PGA.
Right.
And that deal.
Yeah.
Which, we have another team being purchased.
You,
go ahead.
Oh, did you see the sticking point, Shime, after they met in New York on the PGA LIV merger?
I did not, no.
Tiger, Rory, whomever, they want John Rahm and others to give their money back.
Why?
So what did Rahm get, $300 million?
Yeah.
Isn't it like $750 or something?
They want that money given back before they will go ahead and approve the merger.
That's such a dumb request.
Get out of here.
Yes, Wiggy.
Oh, my God.
Just because they weren't smart enough to go get a bag doesn't mean you should punish other people for getting the bag.
Right?
And hasn't – listen, I don't get into the whole world of, you know, foreign politics and all that other nonsense, but I remember people used to be like Nike. Weren't they having like 6-year-olds make sneakers? And isn't Tiger Woods the face of Nike?
You're welcome.
And also,
a bit of a primitive explanation, but yes.
But I mean, you know, for us that might not be in the world of that, you know, where we're not watching a million documentaries on the sweatshops in, you know, Southeast China. Yeah. So don't you think if that's the case, well,
Tiger should give that money back?
Yeah, Tiger, give your money back. You know, maybe it'll help out some of those, you know, kids that have, you know, worked making all them sneakers or golf shoes that you sell for $200 and they were making, you know, 6 cents on.
Yeah, I feel like the requests and the behavior of Tiger and McIlroy here is just the peak of hypocrisy. Like, Tiger, the PGA Tour sanctioned golf events every year with Saudi Arabia. Their ticket dealer during the pandemic was purchased with a major investment from the Saudi investment fund. Like, the video game is distributed by a company that does business with the Saudi investment fund. It's all over it. Any talk of being pure has left the building generations ago.
But to demand that John Rahm give money that he earned, a deal that he chose to take that was available to everybody, give it back before they're going to essentially allow these guys back in is ridiculous.
That's stupid.
Ridiculous.
Could you imagine you're so John Rahm and there's Tiger Woods worth $1 billion telling you what to do with your money? Like, F off, dude.
You know who does that kind of thing, Curtis?
Who?
Feckless young sod.
I want to get her into the booth. Like, could she try out? I think she'd be good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. With us now, Courtney's arch enemy when it comes to scoops around this radio station, Rich Keefe.
Hello. Yes, it was a good old-fashioned scoop-off yesterday.
Did you notice when you came in, it was just like Seinfeld and Newman?
Yeah.
Courtney said, Richard.
Yeah, she was not thrilled.
No,
like, it was my fault.
No, because I want to do this on air.
Okay. You're going to shake my hand.
Well done.
Well done.
All right.
Well done.
How about that?
Yeah, well done.
Right. Takes a big man or woman to admit they're wrong.
Yes.
Today, Courtney is a
big woman. But petite in stature.
Right. Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to have one of those shocking buzzers on your hands to get...
Nope. Listen, it's a dangerous world, the scoops world is.
It is.
It's not for everybody.
You have a good source.
I got a good source. I'm not one to scoop shame either because I deal with that a lot.
Yeah,
I deal with that a lot. People don't want to believe me, so I'm not going to, you know, scoop shame anybody.
You have a deep source within the Bruins organization.
Oh, sure do.
Yes, you do.
Sure do. Pretty good. Pretty helpful.
Pretty good.
not bad.
Is it male or female?
I'll never tell you that. I'm taking that to my grave, Greg.
Would you go to jail to protect your source?
Yes, Greg, that's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yes.
Because you are a journalist.
Of course.
As Courtney
should be. Investigative
journalist. We've been telling Courtney all morning that she has violated multiple tenets of journalism.
Yep.
I'm shocked Wiki hasn't brought up deep throat yet.
No.
I'm learning the difference on the text line, Twitch. You know, people say, that's gossip, Courtney. That's not a report. It was a whisper. Somewhere in between.
Yes.
But that's what a scoop is, right, Keith? A scoop is a whisper in your ear.
Is a scoop a report? See?
I don't know. It's a scoop.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's just good intel.
It's good intel. Uh-huh. That's a great one right there. It's military talk.
It all goes back to Call of Duty for Wiggy.
Right. What is going on over there?
What is going on over there?
Yeah, like sign
I think
the guy.
Swayman wants a certain amount of money. The Bruins want to only pay him a certain amount of money, and they have yet to meet the middle. That's what it feels like.
What do the Bruins want to pay him?
They
don't want to go north of eight.
That's right. So maybe eight on the number. Maybe that'll get done. I don't know.
The guy won't take $8 million?
But then I think they also have to haggle over years. Because maybe once they get the money right, maybe Swayman wants 8 years. Maybe they want to go less than that. So I love when Don Sweeney yesterday is like, well, you know, we're optimistic something gets done by December 1st.
I know.
I was like, okay, great.
Like, what?
Great. We'll wait till then.
Okay. What are you thinking tonight? Where do we wager? Like, where do you wager? How do we wager?
Probably the under. I know. It's boring to take the unders. But, like, Aaron Rodgers hasn't looked great in the first 2 weeks.
Looked better last week.
He did look a little bit better, but he's still, like, under 200 yards passing.
And I love the under. Scheim gave me a nugget. Tom Brady has thrown for 300 yards more recently than Aaron Rodgers has.
Tom Brady has 2 400-yard games between now and the last time Aaron Rodgers threw for 300 yards.
See,
are you hammering that chime this evening?
This is a kind of a stay away game for me. I need to see what these teams do, because like honestly, Patriots could win outright. This game could be well over, or it could be 10-7. Like
6 points
no
seems like a lot, doesn't it, for the
it
Jets? Because they don't look great.
And Rich and Shyam, I'm not as good in the at betting as you guys. Is Thursday night totally unpredictable? Is it like, do good bettors avoid it because of the unpredictability of the short week?
I mean, there's been a lot of slog Thursday night games. I feel like they've gotten a little bit better and a little bit more like the Sunday games recently. Don't you think, Shyam?
Yeah, a lot of the times, like early in the season, I like to stay away from Thursday nights because it's just a mess already early in the season, and on the short week, it's weird. But I mean, there's generally some good spots sometimes on Thursday nights.
Big game. Big game. Big swing game.
Two really good defenses.
Yeah.
It's a very winnable game, I think, for the Patriots. I really do. Like, Shyam is talking about those guys getting run all over last week. The Jets, that's the strength of your football team.
Yeah, they barely beat the Titans, and, like, it was Will Levis. Like, Will Levis is horrible. Yeah. Like, just throwing picks left and right.
Just
so.
Gave them the ball.
Yeah, just he stinks.
But, Greg, it's like I told you. It's going to come tomorrow when we talk about this game. We're going to say they won because of their ability to maybe make a few plays in the passing game, or we're going to say they lost because their inability to make plays in the passing game. It's always going to come down to the passing game for me.
They feed Pop tonight or what? I don't think it's in them. I think they feed Ramondre.
Yeah,
that's
I think
what they do.
Right. More of that.
I don't think they feed any of the wide receivers.
No, I don't think so either.
Because I think it's like, all right, you know, wide receivers, anything after 10 yards, I mean, is Jacoby Brissett going to even throw them the football? Is he just going to hold on to it, which is going to then potentially lead to some coverage sacks? I don't know. And then I mean you can't throw Pop Douglas like a little bubble screen or
something. They should hand him the ball, for God's sakes. Get him involved.
Speaking of getting fed, where's lunch today, Wiggy, in Florida?
I don't know, man. I gotta try. There's a lot of Cuban food I've noticed around here. So, you know, somebody who's I don't like the stereotype, but it's a huge, huge Scarface fan from the movie, and I know he was a big Cuban. The food.
Yasiel Puig. He's a big Cuban.
I mean, just
Scarface is the most overrated movie ever.
It's
horrible.
It's my favorite movie.
I said Scarface is the most overrated movie, and it's horrible.
Get out of here.
No, it is. The original with Paul Mooney. Good film. The original, good.
I like Scarface.
There's nothing worse. Shout out to my little friend.
There's nothing worse.
MTV Cribs. Oh, yeah. Look at my Scarface on the wall.
He's one of those, Greg.
I cannot stand film hardos.
He's one of those.
Oh, the original?
Yeah, Paul Mooney.
Please get out. You didn't see the original Scarface.
Yes, I did.
You did.
I took a film class.
After you saw Al Pacino, bud, please.
I didn't say, no, who said I saw it first or second? God. I wasn't alive when the first
one
came out.
The people that go, the original Departed is better than The Departed. Like, get out of here.
Right.
It's a French film.
He's being a big hoddle.
So a French film can't be better?
No.
Right.
Really, honestly, no, it can't.
So I might,
it's not American.
I might try
no, but if you like the Cuban. You like the Al Pacino Scarface, that's fine.
Yes.
I bet you guys also like Entourage, so that's fine. It's fine.
So, Rich, what was wrong with
the Entourage?
No, the only good part of Entourage was
the series.
Oh, there was a film.
Yeah,
I didn't see the film. The series I thought was terrible. Jeremy Piven was hilarious.
Great.
It was
horrible.
The
series everybody talked. Rich, so what was the issue with the film of
Rich
Scarface?
Doesn't like it if it doesn't have men in tights.
No, but what's the issue
in the world?
I thought
and capes. Okay, I need a cape, obviously. Capes. Yeah, a cowl.
And we're not going to shame that.
He's a big fan of the Robin Hood Broadway play.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Rich, what was your biggest issue?
I don't know. It's an overacting thing. It's not.
No,
very,
but
it's
that's
not great.
Part of it. Yes. You know, he's this Cuban immigrant who's trying to make it in America.
Yep.
Great that movie.
And his acting.
Oh my God.
And just the way he climbed the ladder.
Yeah.
You know what? You'll never see another bad guy.
Yeah, but
her womb was so polluted, she can't even have my kids, Mike.
I'd rather listen to you do the accent than Al Pacino do the accent.
The other characters around him.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, the other characters are great.
The police officer there, the bad
Hank.
The bad
Hank,
cop.
You know what you are, Hank? You're a hustler.
You can't shoot a cop.
Can't fly straight. And his boy Manny.
You know what? You guys are really selling me. You guys are really selling me.
I have to give it to Keith. The line of the week was, you guys probably like Entourage.
And they're both like, we do.
And Greg.
Yes, Wiggy.
Greg, his friend Manny from Scarface,
yeah.
Your boy from Breaking Bad, was the one of the Salamakia.
First take
hate,
ever.
Hate.
It's
hate.
The second best show. It's the second best show of all time.
It's nah.
Is he Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Terrible.
We're not going to resolve any of this, Greg.
The ignorance is deafening.
The text
ignorance
line
is bliss.
Fly, Pelican, fly.
What do you mean the text all right, line wait. Agrees with
Scarface
you?
Is absolutely overrated. Walked out of the theater in the 80s. Scarface, not a good movie. Horrible movie. I'm saying they agree with me is what I'm suggesting.
The same person.
Is watchable but overrated. No, those are different numbers.
Okay.
Different area codes.
It's all great.
What
it's
about all right. The one that said "Hurry up and get knocked up and leave the show"? Did you read that one? Or
was that directed at me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who were they talking about?
That would be me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to leave the show.
No.
Right?
Maternity leave. Yeah.
I took maternity
back.
Leave. I just got back recently from
you
paternity.
Took like 5 months. Remember that?
I had it.
That was that prior to the pandemic? Or?
Yeah. One. My first daughter was born in 19.
You took 6 months off.
What is the leave?
I was given 6 months.
So strange.
What is the leave?
It's a lot. Double
good?
Check what it is.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a long time.
Greg thinks it should be 24 hours.
Yeah, right. Get back here. You get every penny you get.
That reminds me of the old days when I first came here.
Okay.
And I just figured out who your Bruins source is.
Who?
Dale here.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I can tell you it's not. Yes. I can tell you that it's not.
Yeah, I think
can.
It is.
He'd be a good one.
Yes, it is.
He's plugged.
All right. Keep guessing.
Already?
Yeah,
oh, shots.
We gotta go.
That's it for you guys.
Wow,
Courtney, do you want to stick around?
No, I think
for the
I'm
first
good.
Segment with us?
I'm
no?
good for the day.
All right. We will play some of your audio, though, later in the show.
Oh, you're going to play some of
Yeah, just
audio?
Some of it.
Okay,
just a sprinkle. Yeah.
What time will that be?
So at 11:45, okay. We do a segment called Misleading, where we take something from your program and we react to it.
Yeah.
So
Kylon,
I believe that'll be what we react
Kylon.
To.
Kylon, just remember I'm just a girl in a Post Malone sweatshirt.
How was Post?
It's great.
Yeah, all right.
Courtney is taking her Cocoa Bombs to Facebook later. You're going to do that? What time are you going to do that?
Instagram story.
Yeah, no more bombs for me.
Full Cocoa Bomb at 11:30.
If Swayman's agent wants to call me, it's going to be a no.
Okay.
Not picking up.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
Did we just find out?
It was Swayman's agent?
No. That's not what I was saying. That was not it. I was saying even if Swayman's agent were to call me, I would not pick up.
Okay. All right. We got to go. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you.
Go Pats. We are back tomorrow morning at 6 with our guy, Nick Kostos, telling you how to wager for the weekend. Thank you for your patronage.